Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Father, you are an awesome God. Oh, there is none like you. There is no equal, Lord. There are no words. There are no adjectives, Lord, that can truly describe you. But, Father, we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus, and his sacrifice for us today, Father. We're so grateful that we live in a nation, Father, where we can still come and meet, Lord, and not be persecuted. Father, we can come and still don't have to hide, Father, when we come and meet together. We can freely come and worship you and praise you and get instruction from you, Father. We're so grateful for that. And Father, we just give you honor, glory, and praise. Father, anoint me today to even speak the word that you would have for me to speak, Father. Let it not just be gifting, Father, but let it be gifting, Father, that the anointing is flowing through. So, Father, we thank you once again, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And for those who are watching online, as I had already told those here today, I am the substitute teacher today. Pastor Dean is on assignment with the political calling that God has given him. And most of you know me already. I'm Pastor Troy Towns, and me and my wife pastor Next Level Ministries in Montgomery, Alabama. And you're probably wondering, why are you not at your church preaching and why are you here? But we actually have our services on Saturday. So because of that, I was able to help Pastor Dean out. He called me late Tuesday evening. He said, can you stand in for me? I said, Pastor Dean, whenever you need me, unless there's some reason I can't come, you can count on me. Amen. So the last time that I was here, I was kind of preachy. I was a little bit preachy the last time I was here. But I hope you guys are in the mood today for some good teaching, a very thorough teaching. We're going to teach today on faith and prayer. Matter of fact, the title is Dimensions of Faith and Prayer. And you might want to take some notes. This is going to be pretty in-depth, and I believe that you're going to get some new perspectives on faith and on prayer. Amen? So let's get right into this. We're going to start off by talking a little bit about prayer. So I want to talk about three points of prayer I want you to consider as we go through this teaching. Number one, prayer is a supernatural spiritual force. It is a supernatural spirit force. As a matter of fact, prayer is a weapon. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Sometimes as believers, we don't understand all of our weapons. I've always looked at it as having a spiritual quiver in the back, in your back, you know, and you have to know what weapon to pull out and release at that particular time. But prayer is a supernatural force. It is one of the weapons of our warfare. Prayer shifts, moves, creates spiritual atmospheres, and gives us access to the kingdom of heaven. So we need to be praying all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And I want to, what that really means is that doesn't mean that you get up in the morning and you're just praying everywhere you go. You don't walk into McDonald's, look at the menu and say, God, should I get the Big Mac combo or the spicy chicken combo? That's not what it means. But it does mean that you should be constantly in prayer. We shouldn't be going long periods of time without praying, because this is such an important and powerful weapon in our arsenal. Number two, prayer are not just words. They are supercharged words that are fueled by faith, the actual word of God, and the Spirit of God himself. Amen? So prayer is powerful. Number three, prayer is the vehicle that moves us from a current situation, or we could say point A, and transports us to a new manifest reality. Amen. So you could be here in your life. You could be going through a situation. But when you begin to pray, I want you to understand prayer is that vehicle that's taking you through and getting you to the next place. Right. So let's look at biblically, what is the proper way to pray? How does the Bible instruct us to pray? Here's the first thing. The Bible instructs us to pray to the Father. Y'all ready to get into some word? Let's look at Luke 11. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. give you guys a second to get there. Luke 11, 1 and 2, it reads, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place," this was Jesus, "as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us how to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven," or abides in heaven, "hallowed," or holy, "be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth." So there's something right in there that we can learn from. When Jesus was asked by his disciples, how do you pray? He said, you pray to the Father. You pray to the Father. And most of the time, look, I'm not saying that sometimes I don't pray and I'm speaking specifically to Jesus. Sometimes I'm speaking specifically to the Holy Spirit. I think you're supposed to have relationship with all three. I think you're supposed, I have learned there's different, they have different, I want to say this, forgive me if this offends you, but to me they have different personalities. The Father is like a natural father. He wants to be respected. He wants to be honored. And when he disobey, when you disobey him enough, he pulls off his belt. That's the way my daddy was. That's the way I was. Father wants to be respected. Jesus is our great high priest now. Now the Bible said he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He finished his earthly assignment at that particular time. Now he is up there advocating for us. The Bible literally says that the enemy, Satan, is the accuser of the brethren. He's always running to God. Say, see what Bucko did? Bucko cursed somebody out this week, Lord. I mean, that's what he does. He's constantly, he's supposed to be your man, right? He's supposed to be changed. He's the accuser of the brethren. And guess what, though? Jesus is up there making intercession for you. He's talking on your behalf. You know why he is so good at being our great high priest now? If you just read Hebrews, Hebrews is a powerful book in the Bible. I love it. The reason why is because one thing the Father cannot identify with is being a man. Jesus was a man. He hungered. He was sad. He cried. He was betrayed. He knows all the things that we go through as human beings. And so when he intercedes from us, he intercedes not from the position of the King of Glory. He intercedes from us from the point of the Son of Man. He was a man. And then the Holy Spirit. This is what I've learned about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sensitive. He'll move. He'll be hovering. He'll move. He'll be pulling on, tugging on your heart. But if you resist him long enough, he moves on. When there's an altar call, if a man brings a word of God and there's an altar call, there's about 1 or 2 minutes you got to move on that call. And if you keep rejecting the Spirit, he says, okay, you don't want me? He moves on. I've learned this over the years. They're all different. So there are times. But Jesus here instructing his disciples, he said, pray to the Father. Amen? But look at verse 1 one more time here. I love this. It says, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. This jumped out at me when I was looking at the scripture and putting my outline together. Y'all know that there's places, like my wife, we just moved here about a month ago. In our old house, she had made a prayer room. Many of you guys have seen her prayer room. She had a certain place. There was a place that she met God every day. Sometimes when I would be getting off from work, I usually, as soon as I get in the car, I'm pulling out of the parking lot from work, I call D. And there's times she wouldn't pick up the phone. I said, you know what? She must be in that certain place. She must be in that prayer room. She must be with Jesus right now. I couldn't even get mad. You know what I mean? It was a certain place. We're going to look at another scripture too that's going to kind of back this up. But look, if you don't have a certain place, you need to find a certain place. A place, you know, for me, it's a different place. Every place I've ever lived, there's one little room. There's a couch I used to go to. D would hear me get up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I go get on that couch and I just feel the presence of the Lord there. Do you have a certain place? If you don't, hey, ask the Lord, where can we meet? Where's our certain place? Amen. Wow, that's powerful. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew gives us a little bit more detail on this same account. Matthew chapter 6, let me get there myself. We're going to start in verse number 6. But thou, when you prayest, enter into thy closet. He's saying the same thing. See, that's what he's saying. It's a certain place. It's a closet. It's a place that you just go to be with the Lord. Listen, sometimes you got to make a closet where you're at. You know what I mean? You can be in the airport and feel the unction to pray, or get a phone call and say, somebody just got in an accident. And you can close your eyes and you can block out everything and make it your closet. Y'all follow me on that, right? But what he's talking about here is a certain place. He's talking about a place that you can go daily and meet with him. And guess what? He'll meet with you there. He will meet with you there. But thou, when you prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So even there are some nuggets in here. In Matthew, he says, enter into your closet, right? We talked about that. That's your certain place. Shut the door. That means you got to shut other things out. I can't be watching the Auburn game like I was yesterday. We don't even want to go there. I can't be watching the Auburn game and trying to shut the door. See, I can't give God my undivided attention. He says, shut the door. He said, pray to the Father in secret. See, there's a lot of people that just like to be heard. Have that Pharisee spirit, just want to hear, you know, oh, Father God, oh, thee of the, you know, the heavens and the earth, oh, magnificent one of the universe. You know, some people just like to be heard so men can hear them. He said, but when you pray to your Father in secret, he'll reward you openly, right? Right? And now, in verse 7, this is important here. Stay away from vain, repetitious prayers. Why? There's no spirit of life in them. What do I mean by that? Some churches, they have responsive reading. Never like this. Pastor gets up and says something, blah, blah, and then they just say something back to him. And they do it every single week. You know what? You can do that without thinking. You know, the Lord is with you and also with you. You know what I mean? It's a vain repetition. You mindlessly are saying things without conviction. Listen. What we call the Lord's Prayer, the way most people use it, I think is incorrect, right? Jesus was not saying, when he wasn't saying verbatim, this is how I want you to pray. That's not what he was saying. What he was doing was giving a blueprint for how we should pray. Because what the Lord's Prayer has become is a vain repetition. You know, before we used to go out and play a basketball game or a football game, we would all huddle and we'd say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be. None of us was saved. None of us back then had any relationship with God. I just slept with my girlfriend the night. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy king. Ready? Go! That's not prayer. That's a vain repetition. So the very thing Jesus is teaching them how to pray, we have made that thing a vain repetition. Most churches, the Lord's Prayer is just a vain repetition. That's all it is. That's why in verse 9, he said, pray after this manner. He was literally saying, pray in this likeness, like this. This is how you should pray, right? He never meant, like I said, to be a word-for-word recital, just reciting something. So he's given us the blueprint. Our Father, pray to the Father, right? Right? Who art in heaven, right? You're holy, right? Then these are the things we pray. These are the things we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. You're asking him, meet my provisions, meet my needs, right? If you don't have your daily provision, what are we doing? We're crying out to God, Father, I ain't got nothing to eat today. I need you to, this is what he's saying. Can I tell you, prayer is personal. Prayer is very, very personal. He says, sustenance. He's talking about forgiving other people. Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Father. And he's saying, forgive, help me forgive other people. Y'all, sometimes people do something to you that's so hurtful, you need God to help you with it. You know what I mean? If you step on my new shoes, you know, I'll be mad. I'll get over it in a couple minutes. But sometimes people can do things that's so hurtful to you. Your wife walks out on you. Your husband walks out on you. You know, what? It could be different things. Somebody stole some money from you. Those are hard things to forgive. So here, this is personal. Father, God, he stole that $1,000 from me. I let him borrow that $1,000. He never gave it back to me. Guess what? You can hold unforgiveness. So you're going to him and saying, "This." See, he's telling you what manner to pray. This, we're not just supposed to be just spouting something off mindlessly. Amen? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. He's giving us how we should pray, but it should be relational. Amen? Let's look at Romans 8, 14 through 16. Romans 8, 14 through 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." See, this is personal. It's intimate. It's family when you're praying. Abba, Father. I believe that's why Jesus, that's why we are instructed to pray to the Father. Y'all know what? When you get in, when you're, how many of you here are fathers? Fathers, okay. Remember when your kids were young, when they ran to you and something was happening, "Daddy, something happened. I skinned my knee." They're crying. "Somebody's beating me up at school." Listen, y'all, it's no different. What do? You rise up. What? Who's hitting on you? What? The teacher said what to you? I would be up at that school the very next day. With my kids, they knew me so much at the schools that they knew my name. "Hey, Mr. Towns," when I walked in. Because I always told them, now you respect authority, because the Bible teaches you to respect authority. If you have a bad teacher, me and your mama deal with that teacher. And I had teachers I had to go up and deal with all the time. They'd, "Hey, Mr. Towns, what you up here for this time?" Because I'm Abba. I'm Daddy. That's what he said. This is personal. This is family. You pray to the Father because he's the same way. What? Who messing with you? The enemy messing with your money? Oh, he messing with your body? You think he... See, the Lord is just like a natural father. Amen? This is personal. That's what prayer is supposed to be. Now, so we know we pray in the Father's name, right? But guess what? We have to pray in Jesus' name, though. Oh, we got to look at this in the scriptures. John 14. Let's get there. John 14. We're going to start in verse 13. This is Jesus speaking, of course. He says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." We pray in Jesus' name. We're going to look at a little bit more why that's so important as we keep going here. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 10. Verse 1, Luke 10 and 1 says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place whither him himself would come." So these aren't the 12 disciples. These are 70 other ones that were following Jesus at that time. And he sent them out two by two. Now, stay right there in Luke and go to verse 17. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." This is why we pray in Jesus' name. He said, even the demons, when we call them out, they got to come out. When we bind them, they're bound. When we tell them to shut up, they have to shut up in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to give you the reason why this is so. Philippians chapter 2, let's look at verses 5 through 11. Let me get over there myself. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things of earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Y'all, this is such a powerful passage of Scripture. Have you ever thought about the King of Glory humbled himself and became a man? He humbled himself and became what he created. Have you guys ever thought about that? Think about it. Okay, listen. Adam and Eve falling in the garden didn't catch God off guard. Y'all know he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, right? He sees the beginning from the ending from the beginning. Y'all know all that, right? It didn't catch him off guard. But they knew man was going to fall. And listen, the Godhead had a conversation with itself one day, and they knew he was going to fall. And they said, well, we got to redeem mankind back to us. How are we going to be able to do it? And I believe God looked through all of human history. He looked at every man of God, every man of the Old Testament, all the great men, Moses, but there was always a flaw. Didn't matter who it was. Ezekiel, Moses, he looked at all of them. David, all of them had a flaw. And then finally, I just believe, this is what I believe, the Word stood up and said, I'll do it. The Word said, I'll become flesh and dwell amongst them. The Word said, I'll do it. I'll live a sinless life. Where Adam failed, I'll do it. I'll go to the cross. I know without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So I'll go. I'll be the Lamb of God. See, if y'all, that don't make y'all do something inside here to you, it does to me. Listen what it says there. But made himself, verse 7, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to death, even the death of the cross. So this is what God did. Verse 9, he said, wherefore God now have highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. Y'all, that's the name above every name. The name of Jesus Christ is the name above every name. And then he goes on to say, listen, every knee gonna bow, every tongue gonna confess. You know, there was an old commercial. It was a Fram air filter commercial. It was a guy, he was a mechanic. For those older people might remember this. He came out and he said, you can get a Fram oil filter now. He said, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. Listen, you can pay Jesus now or you can pay him later. You can bend your knee now and say, you're Lord of my life, or you're going to bend it before you go to hell. You can pay him now or you can pay him later, but you're going to pay him. He said, every knee going to bow, every tongue going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. He said, things of the earth, here on the earth, things in heaven, all the angels got to proclaim it, and even things under the earth. That's hell. Even the demons going to proclaim it. They're not going to want to, but guess what? When that day comes, they're going to bend their knee too. You're Lord. They're not going to want to say it. They're going to have to say it. Every knee going to bow. So look, you can pay them now or you can pay them later. If you ain't gave your life to him yet, you better do it today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is your day of appointment. Amen. But you can pay him now or you can pay him later. But you're going to pay him. Amen. Listen. So listen, that's why we pray in Jesus' name. It's so much power in his name. Y'all don't realize it. So you're praying to the Father. You let the Father know what you need. But when you get through praying, you say, in Jesus' name. Oh, that name above every name. Rub it into the devil. That name above every name. Amen? Y'all getting something out of this prayer? So you got to understand how prayer works and what it's doing for you. Let's look at John 15. John chapter 15. We're going to start verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abides in me, that word abides, when you look it up, it means to remain stable and fixed in a state of love. Y'all got that? Let me start it again. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abides or remains in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide or remains not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He's talking about here, this is a metaphor of hell. This is a metaphor of hell, right? He's letting you know, if you don't abide with me, one day you're going to be gathered and burned. Anytime you hear Jesus say something like this, it's a metaphor of going to hell, right? Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You want to know why that's so? Because anybody you spend time with, you're going to know what they like, what they don't like. And you know what I mean? Guess what? I spend time with Pastor Dean. When I'm preaching now, I say stuff like, this is one of the scary verses. You know where I got that from? Dean. You know why? Because I hang with Dean. You know what? When I'm at my church sometimes, and even some of the people in my congregation, you know what we say, Jordan? If! You know why? Because I've hung with you. So listen, you want to know why when Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, your prayers will be answered? Because you're going to know his heart. You're going to pray his heart. Because you spent time with Jesus. Amen? He said, abide with me. Spend some time with me. Remain with me. Be fixed in a state of love with me. And I'll tell you everything in my heart. So when you pray, you're already praying his will. Wow. Jesus. Now, let's move on. Faith fuels prayer. Faith fuels prayer. Faith ignites prayer. It's like it starts your engine. You know what I mean? We got to understand how these two work together. Prayer without faith are just words spoken. Just words spoken. Let's look at James 1. James 1, let's start with verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let's stop right there. That's prayer. He's talking about praying here, okay? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That literally means does not withhold. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Right? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The word waver there literally means doubt. See, you can't go to God and say, God, I got this financial need, and I need you to meet it. So meet that need, Lord. But they might come and repossess the car tomorrow. You know what I mean? You're double-minded. You're double-minded. He said, but let, verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That means no doubt, right? Verse 7, but let that man think he won't receive anything from God. If you're wavering, if you have doubt, you're not going to get anything from God. You got to be in faith. And we're going to talk a little more about faith here. I love faith. We love faith, right? So we don't want to be double-minded. Now, let's look at Hebrews 11 and 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. Love this scripture. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who is him? God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Here's the key. Diligently seek him. You know what? I know people tithe one time Oh, I didn't get my breakthrough. I guess this thing don't work. No, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Didn't look like me and D were going to get back together after our divorce. D kept praying. D just kept right on praying. Anybody read the book in here? Anybody read the book? She just kept right on praying. I don't want to be with you no more. I'm moving on. I'll pay the child support. But she just kept on. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Guess what? We're remarried, got a ministry, doing well, got our first grandbaby and another one on the way. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Come on now. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please him without faith. There's another scripture that says that anything that's not of faith is sin. That's why I always teach my people at Next Level Ministries. If you ever go to a church and somebody try to fleece you out of your money, God's told me there's 10 people here that can give $1,000. Don't give it. Get your stuff and get up and leave. Because that's somebody compelling you to give. God says, I love a cheerful giver. See, if anybody compels you to give, it's not of faith. You're just giving dead seed. That money is not going to germinate and do anything in the kingdom realm for you. It is dead seed because it's not of faith. Anything that's not of faith is sin. The biblical definition of faith. Let's look at that. The biblical definition of faith. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to read the beginning part of that in the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed of things hoped for. Wow. There's some key words in this scripture. The first one, y'all ready? Now faith. See, faith believes right now. When I'm praying for something, I got to believe it right now. When I had COVID and had lost 35 pounds, you guys, when I was, God, you're going to heal me. You're going to bring my strength back. Lord, I'm going to get my weight back. I'm going to get my soundness of mind back. I'm going to get back with my ministry. When I was praying it, I believed it right then. Now faith. He's letting you know right now. You can't believe it later. You believe it now. Now faith is the substance. That's the next word. In the spirit realm, faith is substance. It's tangible. See, when you're operating in faith, when angels see faith in the spirit realm, they go, oh, Troy's operating in faith. That's real. That's tangible in the spirit. Demons do too. Oh, he's operating. Faith is on the move. It's tangible in the spirit realm. It's solid in the spirit realm. Here's the next word, evidence. Faith is the evidence. That's proof. In the kingdom of God, faith is proof. Faith comprehends as fact what has not yet manifested in the spiritual realm. I love the way it says it in the Amplified. It's the title deed. See, when you pay your car off, what do they send you in the mail? The title. It's yours. When you pay your house off, they send your title deed to you. It's yours. Faith is you believe it now and it's yours. Are y'all getting this? Don't seem like y'all getting this. I see people looking at me. Now faith. Title deed. It's yours. You see it already in the spirit realm. You believe right now I have it. This is faith. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Because I'm going to tell you guys right here what your enemy is. I'm going to show you what your enemy is right here, right? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight in the natural realm is the enemy of faith. Because we're seeing it, right? We're looking at that mountain. We're looking at that Goliath in our life. We're looking at, I'm still hooked on drugs. I'm still hooked on pornography. I'm still hooked on alcohol. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at that $50,000 they say I owe the IRS. You're looking at it in the natural realm. But the Bible says we walk by faith, not by what we see. Oh, whew. Hope y'all are getting this. Hope y'all are getting this. Faith, sight is the enemy. It's the opposite of faith. is the opposite of faith. Amen. So let me give you some ways that you can produce faith. Y'all ready? Romans 10 and 17. Oh, I got some revelation on this. Romans 10 and 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've read that scripture probably, what, 1,000 times since we've been saved, right? Faith cometh by hearing, right? You develop faith in what you constantly hear. Here's the revelation that God showed me. Satan is the counterfeiter of God, right? Y'all know he wants to be God. Everything that has happened and is happening is because he wants to be God. From the very beginning, he convinced a third of the angels in heaven. I can't comprehend this. I mean, you're with God. You see him on his throne. You're in heaven. There's no higher place to go. And he convinced a third of the angels in heaven that they were dissatisfied. Something was wrong with Jehovah. But I'll be God. And guess what? I'll give you this province over here, and you'll be my right-hand man. I don't know what he told them. But whatever he told them, he convinced them. But he wanted to be God. He said, I'll ascend, right? He said, I'll ascend where God sits, where he sits. So he wants to be God, and he copies everything God does, right? Y'all know that scripture, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness. You know that is ranking of demonic powers. Guess where we got that ranking from? Heaven. Angels are ranked in heaven too. If you ever do a study on angels, that's why we have some that are archangels. They're ranked. Don't have time to do a study on angels today. But what I want you to understand is that he counterfeits everything God does. So guess what? Satan understood faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. So to the fallen nature, that's the unbeliever, and even that, you know, we're still in this flesh suit, right? Right? Even for a Christian, faith is developed by things you hear. So Satan will start telling a lie. He will come up with the biggest lies and say them over and over and over and over and over and over. Can I give y'all some of those lies? Here we go. The earth is a spinning globe moving at 1,000 miles per hour. Y'all know that's a lie. That's not what the Bible teaches. Y'all know that, right? That's a lie. How many people believe it? How many Christians believe it? Faith cometh by hearing. Listen. Here's another one. If you stand 6 feet apart and wear a mask and get these shots that have aluminum, mercury, and aborted baby fetal tissue in you, you won't get COVID. How many people went out and did it? How many Christians went out and did it? Faith cometh by hearing. What about this one? You were born that way. Embrace it. Have pride in it. God loves you and understands. Faith cometh by hearing. Go to Mark 4 and 24. We got to look at this. Look at Mark 4 and 24. And he, Jesus, said unto them, take heed to what you hear. He's telling you, listen, stop listening to the lies on that television. You're listening to these news channels and they're telling you this stuff, and you're developing faith, because faith cometh by hearing. So Satan understands this principle. So he stole it from God. So to the believer, real faith comes by what? When we hear the word of God. But if you keep listening to stuff that goes against the word of God, you begin to believe it. Teacher came with a lady she works with here to this church one Sunday, and Pastor Dean was preaching against abortion. This lady, a spirit-filled believer, said had been mentoring her years back. My church that Saturday did not even know what Pastor Dean was going to preach, because we didn't come that Sunday. I was preaching against abortion too. Same basic message. Teacher told me when her and her friend was riding home, she said, well, what do you think about that message? She said, well, I just believe it's a woman's right to choose what she wants to do with her body. Spirit-filled believer, faith cometh by hearing. Be careful what you hear, because it'll affect your faith and what you believe from the word of God. Amen? So, let's go on to the next thing. There are levels of faith. There's different levels of faith. Did y'all know that? I know y'all do it Next Level Ministries, because I teach it all the time. So let's look. There's two different things the Bible talks about. There's the measure of faith, and there's the gift of faith. Let's look at it in the Word. Let's go to Romans 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The moment you get saved, the moment you say I do to Jesus, you get, the Bible calls it, the measure of faith. God gives it to everybody. Y'all remember Oprah said, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. You get a measure, 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 you get a measure. The moment you get saved, you get the measure of faith. Hang in there with me a second. We're going to come back to that. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Paul, here the Apostle Paul. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He don't want you to be ignorant about this, okay? Now, let's skip to verse 4. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Y'all with me, right? Now let's go to verse 8. We're going to read 8 through 10. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. Now, I want you to understand what Paul is talking about here are spiritual gifts that the Spirit gives to people, that portions to people in the body of Christ. You with me? These are all spiritual gifts. This is not the measure of faith, right? Listen, here we go. Now, verse 9. To another faith, and he's talking about here the gift of faith, because everything he's talking about is gifts. By the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing, by the same Spirit. For y'all out there who are always jumping on people that are supposed to be faith healers, y'all know that's a spiritual gift, right? Y'all know that's a spiritual gift. Or maybe y'all Bible, I don't know what, I'm looking at the King James. Let me read that one more time. To another faith, or the gift of faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. Now listen, there are people that are get in and they, you know, abuse things, and some people are fake, and we know all that. But there are people that God has given a gift that they flow in a gift that can get you healed quickly. So I know y'all jumping all over Benny Hinn and Catherine Kuhlman and all those people, but I'm telling you, this is a spiritual gift. It's in the Word. Okay? Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. A lot of y'all don't believe in prophecy. Y'all, there are true prophets out there who prophesy. Okay? Just because there's some out there that's prophelying, there's still some people that actually do prophesying. And you got to be able to discern in your discerner and your knower, which is the Holy Spirit living in you. If it ain't right, the Holy Spirit, your spider sense, holy, that ain't right. Y'all know we have the spirit of discernment, right? Y'all know the Holy Spirit lives in you, right? Where am I? All right. So let me go back to verse 10. To the another, the working of miracles, another prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits. Some people have a gift that they can discern spirits higher level than most people in the body of Christ do. I think you have that gift. To another, divers or various types of tongues. And you know, we're not talking about here knowing four different languages in the earth realm, okay? He's talking about heavenly tongues. Can I tell y'all something Paul said to those of y'all who doubt tongues being baptized in the Holy Ghost? Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men, let's stop there. Paul could speak three different languages. He was a Roman citizen. He spoke what they spoke, which was Latin, I believe, back then. He spoke fluent Hebrew, and it was another language he could speak fluently. He said, though I speak with tongues of men, then he says something else, and of angels. What was he talking about? Tongues, various type of tongues. Do y'all think in heaven, when we get to heaven, they're going to be speaking English? What about Mandarin? Swahili? No. He said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, he said, the evidence is you speak with a new language, a new tongue. I don't like to use the word tongue because it's too spooky to people. I don't know why it's so spooky in the Bible. I just say your heavenly prayer language. Mm-hmm. You want to know why Satan fights you so much on it? Because when you're speaking in your heavenly prayer language, he and demons don't know what the spirit, what you're praying. You pray in the natural realm, he hears it and tries to thwart it. But when you pray in your prayer language, he gets mad. God, dog can't tell what they're praying. But it's right here in the word. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So that's why sometimes even in this church, we've seen people that there's different manifestations of tongues. I'm not going to teach this today. But sometimes you'll hear people all of a sudden give a tongue in the service. And it's something different with this tongue, because this is one of the way the tongues manifest, is that God is giving a specific message. Think about how powerful it is. A specific message to a specific church that day. And it's something different. I know Patrick's flows in this gift. And then he says, some he gives the gift of the tongue where God is speaking. Paul talks about it in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, the order of how you do this. And then he says, some have the interpret that tongue. Interpret what God just spoke through somebody else. It's really powerful. It's really powerful. But I'm really talking, let's get back on faith here. Because I want you to see that there is a gift of faith. There is the measure of faith and the gift of faith. So every person that gets the measure of faith, this is how I like to think about it. When you get the measure of faith, it's like going to the gym. You exercise your faith, and the more you exercise your faith, the more it grows. Right? The more you pump them weights, the bigger that chest gonna get. Bigger them arms gonna get. Amen? Same way with faith. We start with the measure, but we learn how to believe God for things and trust God for things. And over time, your faith gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And one day God says, he might tell you, he's going to give you an assignment where you got to believe for $1 million. And over the years, you've been building your faith where you don't even stagger at it. Okay, God, if you said I can do it, we can do it. But the gift of faith is somebody where their faith is on such a high level. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And they just have faith to believe for things. Do y'all get the difference? So there are levels of faith. Now, God operates in faith. God operates in faith. This is so powerful. Look at Mark 11 and 22. I think that's it. I can't even read my own writing here. I think it's Mark 11 and 22 here. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Okay? Listen, I'm going to be honest with you here. The King James missed this one a little bit. Their interpretation, they missed it. Because when you begin to study this out, and really most of the other interpretations that you look, when you cross-reference this with other interpretations, they got this right. This is what Jesus actually said. He says, Jesus answered, said unto them, have the God type of faith, or the God kind of faith. That's what it really means. God operates in faith. Look at Romans 4 and 17. " as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickens, or that word means gives life to the dead, and calls those things which are not as though they were. That's faith. Calls those things that are not as though they were. That's what God does. God will call something. You know, he asked the prophet, he said, can these dead bones live? God calls things that are not as though they were. Can I prove it to you in the word? Now let's go to Hebrews 11 and 3. Stay with me here. I'm building on this. Hebrews 11 and 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are now seen were not made of the things which do appear. The worlds were framed. Think of a frame. This is how I see it in my mind. The worlds were framed by words. So if you just think of like of a picture frame, I can just see on the frame there's words. All right, now follow me just a second. Now let's go to John chapter 1. This is going to all come together for you. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing or anything made that was made. Now, y'all got to follow me here. Hebrews 11 and 3 said the worlds were framed by the word of God. John 1 and 1 says in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. Who is he talking about? Jesus. Before Jesus was manifested as a man on the earth, he was the word of God. You cannot separate a man from his words. My words are a part of me. Amen. When I'm speaking now, my words are Troy as well. Y'all know that, right? That's why the Bible says death and life is in the power of your tongue. Listen, Jesus was the Word. Now, I'm about to bring it all home to you. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Notice the same first three words that we just read in John chapter 1. We're going to read, we just read John 1, 1 through 3. Now we're going to read Genesis 1, 1 through 3. Listen, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. There's the Godhead. Y'all see the Godhead? There's the Godhead right there. Let me show you this to you, right? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without form and void. Now listen, verse 3, and God said, when the Father thought what he wanted, when he spoke, right? Now, it says, let there be light. I love the way it actually reads in the Hebrew. Light be. God said, light be. When he spoke that, the words that came out of him was Jesus, was the word of God. Just said in John 1, 1, in the beginning was the word was with God. All things that were created by him, right? He was the Word. Now, look at verse 2. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. The word there moved, when you look it up, it literally means it was hovering and brooding. This was the Holy Spirit. He's so full of power, he was waiting on a command. He was waiting on the command. The Holy Spirit is the dunamis power of God. So the Father decided what he wanted. He said, right now I want light. So what he decided he was thinking. He went ahead and spoke what he was thinking. When he said, light be, that was the word of God. That was Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit says, oh, I can do that. Bam! Then there was light. God said it was good. Oh, Lord help him see it. God operates in faith. God operates in faith. Do y'all get that? Do y'all get that revelation? Amen. Now, there are components of faith. Let's look at some of the components of faith, or you could say the composition of faith. Faith has three different components to it. You have to believe. That's the first thing. You have to not waver, and you have to perceive. Right? So let's talk about each one of those. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. I'm going to look at verses 19 through 21. This is talking about Abraham. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, not meaning physically death there, meaning, you know, he could not supposed to produce children at 100 years old. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, this is where I want to get to. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's why faith is now faith. Because when you speak it, when you're praying, you have to be fully persuaded. Said he staggered not. Said, I'm gonna let you have a child in your old age. He staggered not at the promises of God, right? So you have to believe. Then you cannot waver. Remember James 1 and 7 says, let that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. You have to stiff arm doubt. Anybody in the football, you ever see when the running back has the ball, somebody try to tackle him, he stiff arms. You got to stiff arm doubt. When doubt tries to come at you, No, I'm fully persuaded. God said, I can have it. I can have it. This is what I'm standing on. Amen. And then finally, you have to perceive. You have to see it in the spirit realm. You have to believe it and perceive it in the spirit realm. See, there's natural sight, and that's the enemy of faith. But then there's spiritual sight. And in your spirit, man, you already see yourself healed. In your spirit, man, you already see that situation. In the spirit, man, you already know God gonna send your husband or send your wife you've been believing for. Amen? So lastly, and this is where we're gonna end, coming in for a landing. You have to pray according to God's will. So all this stuff is good, right? But you still have to pray according to God's will. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Y'all, we have to pray according to his will. You know, you can't be praying somebody's husband dies so you can get them. Okay? You can't be praying, you know, calamity upon people. Okay? You got to pray according to his will. Amen? But he says if you pray according to his will, and that's going back to spending time with Jesus, right? If you abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to know his will. As long as you pray according to his will, it's going to be done. Did y'all get anything out of that? Was there any revelation today on faith and prayer you didn't have before? Did the Holy Spirit illuminate something? Okay, let's stand up. Everybody stand up. And while you're standing up, this is how we're going to end today. I want you to right now take a moment, and I want you to think about something that you need to pray for, you've been praying for. And with everything that we've just learned from the Word, now faith, being fully persuaded, amen? All these things, everybody right now, we're going to pray. I want everybody to pray. And guess what? God's big enough. He can hear us all pray at the same time. You're going to pray your need. It might be a child. Might be your marriage. Might be an addiction. But we're going to demonstrate what we learned today. Amen? So let's take a couple minutes and let's go before the Lord and pray in faith. And I believe that we're going to see movement in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. So, Father, we just come before you now. Father, I just come before you. Come on, I want to hear y'all pray. Come on. Father, right now, Lord, I'm praying for my children. They're not walking with you, Lord. But, Father, I know that your Spirit is moving on their behalf. Come on, I need to hear you. Pray. Give it to God right now. Come on. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I know that you're moving in their life, Father. I know that you have destiny for them, Father. And I pray destiny over them right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I know that you're moving. I know that you're shifting things. You're closing doors and opening doors, Lord. I pray now, Father, that you begin to speak to them, even, Lord, in their dreams, Father, that you begin to manifest yourself to them and your will to them, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, I pray that not one of them be lost, Father. I pray that each and every one of them be born again. Father, I pray that you be long-suffering with them, Father, even in this time of rebellion, Lord. Oh, Father God. Oh, we know you're good, Lord. You're so good, Father. I believe you, Lord. I know you're going to do it. I know it's done, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, I praise you, Lord God. Oh, praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, I would be remiss if there's anyone in the house today. Two things. You've never given your life to the Lord. Y'all, salvation is the starting point with God. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. If you have not truly been born again of the Spirit, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. I believe in divine appointments. Today is your appointment with God. If you have been saved, but you've been backsliding away from the Lord. Y'all, this is not the season and the time to be backsliding. It is so close. There are things about to come down. If you need to come and rededicate, get it back right with Jesus. This altar is open. This altar is open. Is there anyone that needs to come? Jordan, I'm going to let you go ahead and play that last song. And if anybody needs to come for prayer, come on up. Amen. Go ahead and pray. So, Father God, Lord, we thank you today for your word, dimensions of faith and prayer. And Father, I pray that even as your people leave your house, even those that have listened online today, Father, that they will begin to operate in new dimensions of faith and prayer, Father. Father, that they would begin to believe you for great things. Father, that they would know that when they pray that you got it, Father, there'd be no wavering, no doubting, Father. Father, we will move now knowing that we're going to pray according to your will and that anything we ask for, Father, we know that it's done. We are fully persuaded. Father, we thank you. We give you honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll do it like Pastor Dean always says, hug some necks before you leave. Amen. And we're off. Now we're off. We're off. Goodbye.